fighting for America.
They want total, unlimited power over the people of the United States.
Get back! Get back now!
I challenge their authority.
No, BLM!
Fighting for Idaho.
We've won.
It's not over.
We're here to make a statement. It's a free country. Remember that, government.
And we can't have an American people that violate the law and just walk away from it. So it's not over.
Fighting for you.
I think it'd be good to go down there.
We need the real story. We need it from a person that we trust and who will seek out the truth.
You know, you can't get anything from the press that's worthwhile anyway. I'd rather listen to you.
Idaho needs to hear from the Kevin Miller perspective.
Now from Southern Nevada, Boise's Mr. Right. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, broadcasting from Southern Nevada. I do want to thank our great friends at MinutemanRx.com for making that happen. And like I said, this show is like most businesses, most small businesses in America today. You got to make payroll. You've got to justify your costs. You've got to make sure you get the ROI on investment. And look, we're not the highfalutin folks everywhere else. You're not going to hear somebody on the radio saying, look, we need you to help us because the sinister forces are against us that are trying to derail this program, trying to get it off the air, trying to destroy the message. And really what's the message here is that we're hearing from both sides of the equation. Just like last hour when we had a young lady call in that said, look, Kevin, the guy should have paid his taxes. Well, that's what this is about. That's what America was founded on. Discourse, dissent. And yet we have the left that continues to go after me personally, go after the management of 580KIDO, urging them through unsubstantiated, slanderous comments to take me off the air. These are true things that are happening. What can you do to support us? Well, look, support MinutemanRx.com. Give us a vote in the Statesman Survey. Tell your friends about what we're doing here. This is stuff that I've been doing for 20 years, almost 20 years. And I do believe that, you know, talk radio has an important part in our republic. There, I didn't say democracy. And it's not only to have people talk about their views and opinions. It's not only to provoke and to inform, but sometimes, particularly when we're near a story, we go to it. Whether it's Katrina, whether it's Iraq, whether it's Bunkerville, Nevada. Now, we've been chasing Clive and Bundy. Yesterday, I spent the day at the ranch. This is part one of a two-part series we will have, part two tomorrow, where Mr. Bundy talks about what it's like to be Mr. Bundy in his own words.
580KIDO, we're here at the Bundy Ranch. Mr. Bundy is with us. Mr. Bundy, you have had a chance to talk to a lot of Americans. What would you like to say to the people listening in Idaho right now?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm happy to be American, and I'm proud that I'm a neighbor to Idaho. We do live in the greatest land on earth. It's a promised land, and we have one of the greatest governments. Even though we have our problems, we have an inspired constitution that guides us and directs us in the directions we should go. If we just stop and figure out what direction it wants us to go, it would solve most of our problems.
When we talk on the radio, it's always about apathy. Why do you think what's happened here has awoken America up? What you're doing here has brought people from all over the country to be here with you, sir.
Well, I think I actually woke up this morning trying to figure out where I'm headed. And, you know, we have a flagpole. And on top of that flagpole, we have We the People on top. We have a county government flag and a state government flag and a United States government flag. You know, most people think this flagpole's turned upside down. But you know that flagpole isn't turned upside down. That's the way our Constitution, our founding fathers, laid this government out. And so I think what's exciting the people is we're finding out we are on top of the flagpole one more time.
Indeed. For people that have been, and it's interesting, as we've discussed on 580KIDO, people have this misconceptions about what's going on. That's why I felt passionately to come talk to you personally. We appreciate your time, and your family's been very hospitable to us. In your own words, what is this about?
Well, it's about our Constitution, and like I said, it's about putting the people on top of the flagpole, not the United States government's been on top of the flagpole. You know, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States government, and we've always thought it was supposed to be on top of the flagpole. But in that process of this thinking over the last couple hundred years, we've now put it as a supreme, a sort of power without limitations. Let's put it that way. On top of the flag, on top of the flagpole, and we, the people, are down on the bottom. That's not the way it is. What's supposed to be? We, the people, were the ones that fought the Revolutionary War, and we the people created the Constitution, and now we're the people within the counties of across the United States. We still have our sovereignty, and we have the power, and this is our government, and we've got to start acting like it now.
With respect, sir, what do you say to the critics? I mean, one minute you're a rancher, you've got your farm. It's been in your family for years. The next minute, you're on all the shows. The next minute, you're on all the social media. This has been quite an experience for you.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride the last few days, last couple of weeks. You know, I have came from a rancher, you know, cowboy out here taking care of my cattle, and my water supplies the cattle. And then pretty soon I have snipers around the ranch with high communication equipment, and I have a couple of hundred armed rangers or marshals driving the roads. And then I find out that I have no freedoms left. I can't get off the road, can't go check my cattle. We're a little bit scared to drive up and down the road. We're starting to realize that we have a government with unlimited power. This government has taken away our state sovereignty, our state law, our public lands, even taken away my sheriff's policing of power. And so now I'm sort of locked in this situation, not really knowing how dangerous the situation it is. But then I they start abusing my family, and the media sort of starts taking a hold. And, you know, before... For very many days, I have lots of concerned citizens. I have the militia here protecting me. And all of a sudden, we feel freedom and liberties again. And we have enjoyed it. And then those people join together, and they actually back off these armed thugs or marshals or United States Army, however you want to look at it. But it's an army of bureaucrats, and we, the people, back those people off, and they leave the county, and we feel the liberty and freedoms here. And boy, it's a good feeling, I can tell you that.
What was it like for you, sir? We've talked to your sons, who've been very nice to us. Your family's been very accommodating. And again, we appreciate your time here at 580KIDO. But what was it like for you when you have the snipers, when you have your son being tased, something happens to your other son, and it's just you and your family here? I mean, I see all the little kids and stuff. I won't put it into my words. Can you describe it?
Well, it's sort of an interesting thing because with all of the dangers, you know, I or my family, I think we had, there wasn't much fear in this. We seemed to be realizing that it was a battle that had to be fought, and we started to march forward without much fear. And we actually, I think we started to receive the prayers of you know, people all the way around the world. I think that strengthened us. And that strengthened those people that went against those guns, marched against those guns without arms. They were, that was a faith thing and a courage and a test of their, I don't know, just, it was really a test for them. But they passed that test and they went forth and now I think they're, you know, I can't really explain what happened here, but there's lots of lives changed in this thing, not only for those that marched, but those that watched. And all around the world, it's become an example of what we can do as we the people. And we want a better form of government. We want liberty and freedom. We want those things that our founding fathers fought for and died for. And we're not going to allow these guns to point at us anymore. It's not going to happen in America.
See, Mr. Bundy, I get that. It's amazing, though, the power of the leftist media. All of a sudden, they're distracting people with their messages. In fact, we've been threatened and called names for even being associated with coming down here. Are you disappointed with some of the conservatives that were with you every step of the way and then all of a sudden have jumped ship?
Well, you know, one thing I'm not seeing it because I'm so busy. I'm not reading the newspaper and not seeing the TV, but I am hearing about it. I'm getting questioned in the interviews. Yeah, you can't help but be a little bit disappointed. But let me tell you something. When you are dealing with something like this, even though there's a hiccup in say my popularity or something like that, that hiccup, it wakes a lot of people up. You know, I have like 3 or 4 cameras in front of me one day. The next day I have 30 cameras because I make a slip up and make a so-called a mistake. And, you know, I felt I really didn't make a mistake. I felt like they used the words that and sort of misconstrued it. I'm not prejudiced. And, you know, I've actually learned more about loving individuals here in this situation. I can see the need of our Constitution through all the way around the world. And I can see the need of the different ethnic groups join in this movement. We're all tired of big government. We're all tired of being overreached. And we don't want a central government. We want a constitutional government. And then when we come to this ownership of public land, you know, all the people can understand the Constitution does not allow the federal government to own only small amounts of land. And so, anyway, hey, even bad press is good press, let's put it that way.
Well, at 580KIDO, I've lived in Idaho for 5 years. But they call it the Cowboy Code, the Code of the West, and I think a lot of our friends that are based on the East Coast really miss the Code of the West, and that's resonated with people here.
You know, they could be, you know, I am a cowboy, sort of maybe with the last man standing type thing. You know, I'm a guy that can ride a horse and rope a calf, and I'm a guy that can understand nature. I can understand the, you know, love of one another and the personal value of our individual souls. And I'm a man that can understand the faith and the spirit of our Heavenly Father. And so, and I can understand His guidance and direction and what's happening to us.
And there you have it. That's part one of our...
Your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Staying up all night.
And here we are once again, 580 KIDO. You know, this is a battle not only in the West, but across the country. And yesterday, we had a chance to run into a man who came here with his son, with his best friend from the state of New Hampshire. Why would anyone from back east show up here? Let's find out now at 580 KIDO.
580 KIDO, we're with Jerry from New Hampshire. Jerry, how'd you get here?
We drove the 2,700 miles.
Why?
Because I talked to Mr. Bundy on Tuesday about 2.5 weeks ago, and he said that he needed bodies, needed help, and I was convicted immediately to drive out here to help him. So into the truck we went 2 days later and across country with my son and my best friend.
And you've brought quite a lot of people here. What's life like here?
Dusty and more dusty. And they could definitely use more water in Nevada, but it's been different. It's a beautiful country in its own, and there's some absolutely spectacular people here, and the salt of the earth. And it was a pleasure to actually be able to meet the Bundys, the family, and be accepted in, as Carol Bundy tells me, as I'm family now. So it's been a really good experience in a lot of ways. Tough, though, because I'm away from my wife, who I miss desperately. But other than that, it's been a really good trip.
Well, when you think of the outside media, again, people listening at 580 KIDO, no, it's not a liberal rag. But a lot of people are influenced by this. We've had people saying, why are you going here? They're lawbreakers. There's Mr. Bundy who's got his issues. Look, you drove here. You're here. You're living in the field. Take us into your world. What do you do every day?
Well, It varies, but usually I go sleep deprived, usually miss a couple of the meals. We do have a chow hall that the meals are served three squares a day, and they run pretty big hours, a long period of hours, really almost military-like. But I'm the commander of the camp, so I've got a lot of people pulling on me in different directions for filling needs and billets and all of that, so I'm pretty busy. The phone or the interviews, and so I've been known to miss chow a few times and miss a lot of sleep. But now I'm up early. I'm up before dark, and usually up in the middle of the night to walk around, just check the camp. But when I get up in the morning, I'm up. I'll go check everybody, make sure they're all right, everything's rolling properly. I get onto some of my messages and stuff on my phone. I've got a smartphone, so I can check some of that. Emails are suffering, and then I'll start taking care of the calls for gear that we need, and people are doing donations and such. Any issues that we need to, like today, we're moving comm gear around, and there's a whole lot of technical things of just running a full-on camp for a small unit, if you will, military style.
And what are you patrolling? What are you guarding against right now, sir?
What we're trying to do is just lend that protection to the Bundy family, so that in fact agencies like the BLM, who are so lawless in their behavior towards the Bundys in the past, they have a record of it, so that they wouldn't think that they would be able to pull that lawless behavior on that family again, from the little babies, the grandbabies, to Mr. Bundy and his wife Carol themselves, that we won't tolerate it, and that we will jump in between them if in fact they want to act lawless. And everybody here has decided, made that decision early on, that if we had to give our lives to protect the Bundys, that's just what we'd do.
580 KIDO, as we talk to our friend Jerry from New Hampshire. Jerry, how is it to maintain the discipline? Because, you know, you have a lot of people from a lot of places. You know, it's not easy living the life that you're talking about right now.
Well, I'm actually really appreciating what the commanders in the Battle of Independence, War of Independence, went through, because I've read a lot. I'm a history guy, and they had a lot of problems with the militias. They were independent. They were wanted their own way. They were ill-disciplined and ill-equipped, a lot of them, most of the time. But that ragtag group actually formed up into a mighty army that really repelled the most well-prepared, well-trained, well-suited, and well-established military in the world with a ragtag force. So I'm thinking we stand a chance here, at least, of keeping the Bundys safe, and because the hearts are right. There's not the hearts are right here, and they all know that they are doing the right thing. I think that our stories are all very similar, that when we heard the story of the Bundys and the plight and what the government was doing to them, that we were convicted immediately, and we knew it was what we must do. And American people are tired of being pushed around by a lawless government. I mean, they can't pass a budget they're required to do under law. They pass laws on us, and they break laws continually over and over and over again as our government. And if you read the complaints in the Declaration of Independence that the founders had against the king in the colonies, is not dissimilar to what's going on in America right now. Is they disregard the Constitution, the civil rights of the American people, and they impose their will as though they're rulers instead of public servants. Even here in New Hampshire, the governor and the sheriff in this particular county, Clark County, don't represent the Bundys and the people of the state. What they do is they represent the power of the federal government back down onto the people of the state, and that's completely inverse of the way it was set up to be, and it needs to stop, and here we're here to try to help that.
And you're a smart guy, so what do you say to people listening at 580 KIDO right now that says these are the laws and you have to adhere to the laws?
I wonder if they'd say the same thing about the Nazis who were killing the Jews in Germany in World War II. Those were the laws then. Were they right? Just a question.
We continue on. Tell us about your past experience, what you were doing before hit this.
Well, I was at home with my wife a lot more, that's for sure. And
were you in the military?
Oh, yeah, I was a former Marine, and I've got a business, a small construction business I've done, and been doing that for quite a few years. And I have a sawmill as well up in the North Country in New Hampshire, and saw logs into beams, and actually we're trying to build some camps and for some friends as well. But it was a lot more peaceful, that's for sure. But I've been politically active anyways, because I've known this day was coming in America somewhere along the line, that people were going to have had enough. And I had no idea I would be over here all the way across the country on fighting it. It would have been more convenient for me had Mr. Bundy lived in New Hampshire, Mass, or Connecticut. But, you know, we stand for it. We stand when we... All of us who are in the military or even in law enforcement, we took an oath to defend the Constitution against foreign and domestic enemies. But they don't de-oath us when we leave the office or leave our position in the military. So that oath still stands. And so we're upholding that oath, which is something that the governor and the sheriff and actually those agents in the BLM need to do as well. And we'd just like to really shine the light on what's happening here, because evil hates the light. I mean, that runs to the dark. They want to do it under darkness, so no one sees it. And that's just the same way when they murdered Mr. Bundy's steers, is they shot one right through the head, one of his prized bulls, and then drug it about, and they shot it in a containment center, which was like a round pen, and then shot it right between the eyes and drug it about a mile and a half. We followed the drag marks until we came upon where the bull was dropped off, so no one would know the BLM did it because it wasn't near their area.
Jerry? Good luck to you. We appreciate it, sir.
Well, thank you very much. And I just ask all of you, if you do anything for us, just pray. And pray for the Bundy family. And just keep us in your prayers that this works out peacefully, because that's what we're looking to do. We're not looking for a violent confrontation. We're just looking to protect that family. And if it was your family, we'd do the same thing for you. And we just ask that you keep us in your prayers.
Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, men, manly men.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men.
And good morning, Kevin Miller with you here live in Nevada for the last day of our trip to the Bundy Ranch. We'll be at Boise High School tomorrow, courtesy of CapEd. The Manly Man segment with Dave Burnett. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
A lot going on here today. I suppose we should start with this big video that's allegedly blowing up in the Treasure Valley involving a police officer at Frank Church Alternative School.
Yeah, it's gone viral, and because, you know, it's a fight between a student and a SRO at Frank Church School. So, you know, it's gone viral. It's funny what will go viral and not.
Well, it's getting clicks, so it has to be a success, everybody.
Sorry, you made me choke on my coffee there. If it's getting clicks, it's got to be good.
Yes. Well, and really, these things happen all the time. So what is the crux of it? You have somebody who's misbehaving, not following direction. You have the police officer correcting him.
Yeah, and he punched out, a school official, it's on video, but allegedly punching out a police officer. I was kind of, and one of the things I always try to teach my children as they grow up, if you run from a cop, there's a chance you're going to get, you're going to get hurt. Or if you try to fight a cop, there's a chance you're going to get hurt or worse. And don't do that. But, you know, this student, for some oddball reason, decided he was a little tougher than the room.
Well, and usually the room wins.
Usually it does in the long run. You know, it's got to make a parent proud, and, you know, it is tough. And I do feel bad for the parents. Any parents trying to raise a teen, my heart goes out to them, because it is not easy to do, especially in this day and age.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. So that was, I heard Maggie talking about that yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a blessing. You know, here in Nevada, they've got one of their hospitals voted the worst in the country. They've got these crime issues. Last month was the biggest month ever for Vegas. So that's really the news coming out of here. Of course, part two of our interview with Cliven Bundy. And as predicted, the front page of the Las Vegas Journal today, it's Mr. Bundy once again saying the militia are not bothering anybody, in response to the congressman that we first told you about yesterday, saying they need to leave the out-of-state militia. So at 580KIDO, I say to you, Dave Burnett, is there a law against people walking around with guns in America?
Well, in most places, no. If it's an open carry area, no. But, you know, again, there are infringements and pushing in on our rights and our freedoms every day from every angle. It's it is amazing to watch. As it's, you know, and again, for a major part, it's kind of the frog in a pot of hot water slowly heating up until you have an event when suddenly somewhere is surrounded by a bunch of federal agents, and then it kind of is a wake-up call going, wait a minute, you can't do that. But otherwise, it's just picking and chipping at our freedoms.
Well, and based on your conversations with the intelligentsia in our building, you would say that, or I would say, based on the feedback that you've given us here at 580KIDO, that they've already abdicated a lot of their freedoms. They've already succumbed to the mind-numbing mob rule.
You know, I don't think that's totally it. I don't think it's succumbing. I don't think they really ever realized what their freedoms were. I really don't. I don't, you know, as they come up through whatever process of education, the school system, college systems, you know, I talk to some of these, I mean, there's people in the building who have served in the military fighting for our rights and our freedoms that don't get it, that don't understand that, you know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. As you're brought up under it, you just begin to believe that's the way it's supposed to be, and you don't even question it. And I think there's a good portion of them in this building, you know, that you talked in the hallways, that don't understand even what their rights were. So to have them taken away or chipped away at, they don't notice because they never knew.
Well, and we talked about this a little last night with Brian Wiley on The Money Show. And the idea of this Donald Sterling issue. Well, he's horrible. Thank you, Commissioner Sliver, whatever his name is, Adam, for getting rid of the big bad racial boogeyman, Donald Sterling. But I still go back to my original contention that it's a private conversation. And where is Mr. Sterling's rights to have offensive speech in America today? Now, some will argue the NBA is a private organization. He did not go out and make the speech public. He didn't go on a radio show or give a speech and say these things. As abhorrent as they are, he basically was talking to his girlfriend. So,
yeah, you know, there's two parts to it to me. Number one, the part you just mentioned. The other part is once it became public, it did have to be dealt with in one way or another. What's fascinating, again, as you talk to the slappies in the building here, is they all yesterday kind of had a, we got him, we got him. It's like, holy cow, what a witch hunt. We got him. Are you kidding me? You didn't get anyone. It was the NBA who put sanctions on a man who, you know, let's be honest, what are you thinking? But, you know, it was kind of a we got him mentality, even amongst the slappies here in the building.
Well, and,
I walked away going, wow.
Right. And that's why I don't talk to the slappies in the building, because, again, I find them highly uninformed about their rights, the Constitution, and individual liberty. You know, they'll regurgitate the talking points from the major media, and maybe you listening at 580KIDO can understand that as well, that, you know, it's more than, you know, just because the media says something, you have to think of things critically. It's not, you know, again, they're not the teachers and we're not the students. But it concerns me greatly when everybody's hailing this decision. And Mark Cuban was right. This is a slippery slope. And all of a sudden, maybe somebody else, I was joking with somebody yesterday, and I said I said something kind of offensive. And I go, gee, I hope you're not recording this, so it'll be the end of me. Never mind the means of how somebody gets it. Oh, that's bad. I mean, you talk about the thought police, and that's what we have right here.
It is, but again, and I really have put a lot of thought to it, a lot of these people have no idea what their rights really are.
Right, and that tells you the future where we're going, where government and politicians are going to have much more control over the individuals based on the fact that the individual, they don't question.
They don't, but and I point back to this, and I'll say this so you don't have to say it yourself, that is part of the reason we're doing what we're doing to send you to Nevada, and that's not to justify or to condemn the Bundys, but to speak out and speak what our rights are when it comes to being an American and being free, so that if somebody stumbles, if one of the slappies in a building, you know, if they stumble across the signal and go, wait a minute, that's our right? That perhaps they'll be educated.
Well, they would be more willing to debate us than actually have some critical thinking here. And speaking of Mr. Bundy, we'll have part two of our interview today. And this is where Mr. Bundy, I say to him, you know, Harry Reid calls you a domestic terrorist. And he goes, I am. And I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, if I were a good little monkey, I'm calling myself a monkey for those of you monitoring today. I guess you could still call yourself a monkey. Then I would have just said headline to get the clicks. Bundy, I am a domestic terrorist. And, so we talk a little bit about that.
You could have run to TMZ with it.
I could have run to TMZ. And then, that would have been the front page of the Las Vegas Review Journal today, whatever it is, Sun Valley News.
There is power in our words. There's no doubt about that. And we do need to be careful how and what we say and how we say that. But again, we've become so thin-skinned in America that, people are just looking for something. Speaking of looking for something, before we go, watch for this today. An information dump about Benghazi. I don't know if you've been following this story down in southern Nevada or not. Released emails from the White House will show that senior White House officials did play a central role in prepping the former U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice on her "It was a protest that went out of control," that there are senior officials in the White House that implicates them right up into the White House. They're going to try to do a little information dump and get that out today, that perhaps while the NBA story is very hot, that while we're, celebrating whatever happened in the NBA, which sometimes
we're celebrating.
Well, across America, if you watch the news, you watch Matt Lauer and the Today Show, there's a celebration going on in the media over this.
I know we've won, and I go back to the whole idea that America is racist. We have a black president. I mean, come on, that has to say a lot right there.
Is there racism? Absolutely there is. And it goes both ways. It goes all directions. It doesn't just go both ways. It goes all directions.
But there's a double standard. There's a double standard in race relations today.
Within the media, I believe there as a white middle-class American male. So.
Well, not only within the media, but within the cultures today, you just have to go back to the endless debate of the inappropriate word that shouldn't be said by anybody, the N-word. And you see this in your own life when people come up to you and blah, 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 and hey, what's up, my blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And you think to yourself, if that word is so offensive, it is so rooted in racial angst, why would anybody say, well, you cannot understand my plight. Well, your plight, you're driving a two-year-old car, you're living in a good home, you've got a great education. What's your plight? Well, the plight of my past. Well, your past, how did you have to struggle? Well, no, not me, but in this country, people have had to struggle. And when we start doing that, it begins the us's versus the them's. People don't serve me because I'm this way, and it's
let me ask you this, though, Kevin: are we not as people in general? Do we not tend to gravitate toward groups, whether it's social groups in school, whether it's I am a an Oregon State fan, you're an Alabama fan? We tend to like to associate with groups. Now, unfortunately, there's some groups that have a worse and a bad message as opposed to others. Even if you want to get to, down to I'm a Baptist, well, I'm a Methodist. And in the long run, the message is the same, but yet we all like to have groups. Do we not as human creatures tend to do that?
Well, it's called self-segregation. And you have people, you have black churches, you have white churches, you have Hispanic churches. It's self-segregation. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that sports and entertainment, and to a degree politics, have proven how tolerant race relations are in America today. People are colorblind in sports. All they care about is their team winning. And yet when we have something like this, and it's multi-ethnic and all this, and then we have Larry Johnson doing his tweets, and people don't pick that up with the same vitriol. And yeah, Larry Johnson's not an owner of a team. But at one time, he was probably one of the top five most recognized basketball players in the world when he says, quote, the NBA is a black league those things, or the white guy's the dope. You can't say that doesn't have an impact on the white people that are the dopes or the culture that continues to reinforce that. All of it is wrong. And you have some great people of great moral character, whether they're African-American or black or white, that point these things out, it's very easy to condemn Donald Sterling. It's not so easy to say, okay, well, then what's next? Who's next?
And that is a huge question. I know on Drudge today, one of their stories is talking about, I was looking for the exact wording on it, but, you know, it's kind of that what's next, because the majority of owners in the NBA are white, old white men. Does that mean the target's there, that we're going to force more people out to allow more minorities to buy, or are you just going, you know, what is, see, what's next on the radar?
I don't like the precedent that they're going to make him sell his business. You want to suspend him, everything else, but to try and run him out, well, you could take a look at most, you know, people in the NBA. Well, they're there because of merit. You take a look at most people in the entertainment, the rap industry. They're there because of merit. I'm sure they're not old white guys that are running the rap companies right now.
I would doubt that. I couldn't answer that, but I would doubt that, seriously. But, you know, we'll watch and see. Story, though, I think you need to watch today is that Benghazi information dump. That's my pick on things to watch today. Kevin, we're going to take a look at traffic. Need to watch that, too. It's coming out of Canada.
The Kevin Miller Show is brought to you by NRX.com. American families, American veterans, taking care of Americans. Now from Southern Nevada, it's Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And coming up, part two of our interview with Cliven Bundy. Time to get you to work safely and on time at 580 KIDO. It's of the congressman that wants the militia out, and the local reporters have agreed with us that there are no checkpoints around schools and churches. Can you carry guns? Can you carry weapons to protect yourself in America today? Let's discuss. Good morning, 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.